Every single day I feel the
Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never knew I'm best, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Welcome back to That One Studio. It's your boy C-Rock on the What Are You Made Of show. Glad to be back. Just got back from Jamaica. Week-long vacation with the family, the in-laws. 15 of us went to Ocho Rios, Jamaica. Had a blast. But I had a... every time I go away, I just get this feeling inside that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's weird. So I always hang out with my family, even when I'm home, not on vacation. But when I go on vacation, I hang out with my family still, but then what do I do the rest of the time? And so I have to produce. I'm a producer. And so I had that feeling, but I'm glad to be back. I got a great guest for you today. Guys, you know, look, we do a lot of intensive research. We talk to a lot of people. We find out who they're vibing with. What podcasts are they listening to? Who's out there that they like? And we want to go after those people and connect with them and bring them into our ecosystem and our network and become friends with them and build relationships. And that's what we've done today with Melissa McAllister. Also, I don't know if you're known by this, but it's Made by Melissa. Is that right?
Yeah, Melissa Made.
Oh, Melissa Made. I'm sorry. Melissa Made.
That's fine.
So, you know, everybody should want to be Melissa Made, especially all you ladies out there. Wait till you hear Melissa's story, what she's doing. I'm excited to have you on the show today, Melissa.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah. So according to the bio that was sent to me, mm-hmm. you're a certified nutritionist and entrepreneur.
Yes.
And you're an animal activist, which is mm-hmm. awesome. Believer in practicing what you preach, following the golden rule, and you love to travel, educate yourself, and being an introvert. Well, you're going to talk more about that.
Yeah.
And you also love to spend time. Loves the time spent with close friends and family, which I've noticed on your social media, which is phenomenal. I saw one thing recently with your son asking your husband, I guess, for to go camping with him, with his
yeah.
buddies.
Isn't that cool?
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
And so that's awesome. But look, welcome to the show. I'm glad to have you here, Melissa.
Thank you. I'm really excited. I've been, appreciate the connection. And just like, you know, when you get connected with somebody, you're like, oh, I'm going to go follow this person on social media. I'm going to learn a little bit more about them. And I appreciate what you put out there. I love that you're a family man. I love that you are very, very driven. And I really do think one of the first things you said when we got connected here was, you know, hope my energy is not too much. And even though I am an introvert, I thrive off high energy people. So I appreciate the connection.
Awesome. Thank you very much for that. Yeah. You know, look, this show is all about the ingredients that go into making the guests who they are. I believe that if we can share our stories, the ups and downs, we can help other people, inspire other people. And somebody listening to this right now or seeing one of these clips that we put out on social media, right? Or you can have this content and you put it out. Somebody's seeing this, could be going through a tough time, and they think that they're by themselves in this. And the fact of like, nobody else experiences this. Yeah. And that, to me, that's unacceptable. So I want to make sure we really expose the journey to a mission that we're going on and that understand that there's ups and downs and there's ways through it. So with persistence. So Melissa, I always start to show off with this question, and I know you were preparing for this. What are you made of?
This has been like consuming me because it's a really, really good question. And I don't think enough people ask themselves that question or ask other people. And so you saw that I challenged my social media to ask people, and I put it into, you know, what three words describe you. And so I asked a lot of people, and there was a lot of commonality. The first one is knowledge. I have this huge thirst for knowledge. I can't stop learning. I really believe that you are the person that if you think you know everything, you really know nothing. And so I'm always educating myself. I'm a kind person. I'm extremely empathetic. I would almost say that it's to a fault. I struggle, you know, when people are in pain or animals are in pain or anything like that. So I'm empathetic to a fault. And then I'm also relentless. Tim Grover, I don't know if you read that book.
Yeah.
I read that. When I read that, he described people that are relentless. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's me. If I set my mind to something, even to the age of when I was, you know, I think I was 16 months when I took my first step, I was relentless, and I've been relentless ever since.
Yeah. You know, by the way, Tim was at the 10X Growth Con. He was on stage. My buddy Grant had his 10X Growth Con, his ninth Growth Con. And I think the next year's the last one, he just said. But Tim was on stage there, and this is the first one in 5 years I didn't get to go to.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, being in Jamaica with a family was more important. So, but yes. Tim, yeah, the book that he wrote, him being behind Kobe and Jordan, and I believe Dwayne Wade as well. And yeah, I mean, I need to reread that book because, you know, I'll tell you something, Melissa, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. I think that we all go through things sometimes, whether it's relationships, personal, business, business things, events, and we get beat up sometimes. Yeah. And in that, we become not introverted like you're talking about, like a natural introvert, but we introvert.
Yeah.
And that's a non-survival behavior. And sometimes you don't realize you're doing it. And then you have an awakening. And you're like, wait a minute, what have I been doing over these last few months? Like, that's not me. Yeah. You know, my fire has been dimmed a little bit. And so we're not always relentless, acutely, but chronically we need to be relentless.
Yeah.
Right. So have you gone through, like, you can take us as far back as you want to go, but I want to get in, you know, raw, uncut. Right. And I want to get you vulnerable here. And okay. I want to know some stories you have of things that you went through that kind of dimmed your light a little bit. And then obviously you picked it back up and.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We'll go back. I guess one of the first, Sidley's like, that was such a hard time. You know, growing up, I had severe birth defects in my feet, severe birth defects. And it was a challenge when you were super little. But when you got into the school years and there was the beach parties and the pool parties and the slumber parties, and even if you remember way back in the day when you were in school and you would shower together, the girls would shower together, the boys would shower together for PE.
Well, we did that in college a little bit, but no, yeah. I'm just kidding. I'm ornery, by the way.
That's a different podcast.
I'm just kidding.
But I had a special shower. I had my own shower, which, you know, caused a lot of the girls to talk and to make assumptions and stuff like that. And I just remember even back then the special treatment, which made me feel different, and the speculations and the rumors, about why I would, because I really hid my birth defects back then. I didn't want anybody to know about them. And so I hid them very well. And I'd make excuses for every time there was a pool party or something as to why I couldn't go. And that, you know, really made me a recluse. And to be honest, Mike, it took me until probably my mid 40s to finally be like, F it, you know, and I just use social media to actually put out what that's how long it suppressed me to put it out there. And the huge weight that was off my shoulders once I just told everybody, I've got some pretty screwed up feet, you know, but it hasn't stopped me. And ever since then, it has been a wonderful journey of being able to relate to people that may be going through something that's holding them back. And that's been my biggest one by far.
And yeah, I mean, I can imagine, you know, what specifically was wrong, or you could see it, visual, you could see it,
yeah,
or is it?
Yeah. Okay. So my father was a Vietnam vet, and he was exposed to Agent Orange. And so which was a blessing that it was only in my feet, because usually children that are a product of Agent Orange, it can harm the heart and the brain. And it's usually the extremities, both the hands and the feet. And it was just my feet. So my feet were born in, it's called elephantitis, the 4 feet, the foot and the toes were growing just super rapidly. They said I'd never walk or wear shoes, but I am. And, but they whittled away at my feet, and they kept whittling away, trying to stop the bone growth. And they kept telling my parents, eventually we're just going to have to cut her feet off at the ankles. But there was, my parents were just as tenacious as I am. And I wouldn't give up on finding a doctor that said he thinks he can save my feet. And he actually did save my feet. And, they're ugly as hell. And I only have 5 of my 10 toes, and I only have 5 of the 10 rays that you're supposed to have for support. And it's supposed to be a miracle, because, you know, I'm in the fitness industry. I've been in over 60 consumer fitness videos and stuff. And, I wasn't even supposed to be able to walk, but because I couldn't hear that, I just kept trying to be me, and these feet have lasted so far so good.
Well, I got to tell you, Melissa, feet are ugly to me anyway. So I've never seen a pretty set of feet. Okay, so I think feet that work are good.
Yes.
But other than that, like, if they're already ugly to me, they're already ugly. You might as well have the ugliest feet on the planet. That's the way I look at it.
I do so, my toenails. I mean,
okay. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, listen, man. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not a feet person, but I know there are feet people out there.
Well, there are. That's a very lucrative market right there.
But you know, in business, and I know you're a business coach too, right? So, in business, it's important to differentiate.
Yes.
And so, with this being the case, like if there are feet people out there, they may like different looking feet. So that might be a superpower, really. It's a differentiation thing. So anyway, no, but that is, I know like when kids are different,
yeah,
it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. And I think really we need to early on get with kids and talk to them about different is good.
Yeah.
And make it just switch the perspective on it, do a paradigm shift and, you know, different is good. And if you're not different, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and that I think would empower more people at a younger age. So thank you for sharing that with us. And to this day, does it still bother you?
I have a son and a daughter, and I, for the longest time was, I would hide my feet for their benefit because I didn't want them to get teased because mom was so different. But now that they're adults, nope. I actually kind of enjoy the fact, because, you know, I'm a pretty fit gal, and I enjoy the fact that people will scan me up and down and be like, oh, she looks pretty fit. And then they'll see my feet and you can just see the surprised look on their face, almost like, wow, you know, she doesn't use that as an excuse to not be a healthy individual. So it's kind of a superpower now.
Yeah. And the thing is, your kids see it and they see that you're still achieving and still being successful, which is a great lesson for them, right?
Yeah.
How about the dating life with that being the case? Like, what was that like? And then, you know, your husband now, like, how did you wrap him up despite that?
Well, he pursued me hard. We're high school sweethearts. And so it's not like I had a huge dating, time frame. I was a sophomore in high school. He was a senior in high school when we went on our first date, and we've been inseparable ever since. But it was about a month into our relationship when I finally was like, I got to show you something. And I'm bawling and just having the hardest time taking off my shoes to show my feet. He looked at me and he goes, is that it?
You worked it up. You built it up enough to scare the shit out of him. And then he's like, oh, okay, that's nothing.
He's like, whatever. So yeah. I knew he was the one for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. So then from there, like did you go to college?
I did. I went to Mesa Community College and Arizona State University for a while. Okay.
And then got into fitness then, that early on, or?
Yeah.
Nutrition?
Actually, the funny thing is, like, my mom doing the best that she could. The doctors told her that I shouldn't, you know, run, jump, skip, hop, anything. So I didn't play any sports in school. I was not supposed to be athletic whatsoever. So as soon as I went away to college, which the first thing I did was I went balls to the wall and just did everything, especially group exercise. I joined a gym and learned about group exercise and started doing that and got addicted. And my mom still to this day worries about me and my feet. But they said that I'd be in a wheelchair by the age of 40. I'm now 50, still going strong. So just another way to prove them wrong. But yeah, going to college and stuff like that was my first taste of being athletic, and I just fell in love. And I was going to school for nutrition, so they just complemented each other very well.
Well, and I'm speaking to the listener right now. Listener, if you're listening and you're not watching, you got to go to Melissa Made on Instagram or melissamade.com. Go check her out. She does not look 50. She looks way younger, just so you guys know. So check it out. She's doing her thing and taking care of yourself, working out, eating the right things keeps you young. And you're proof of that, Melissa.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So from there, you started a business, right? So starting a business is it can be difficult. Mm-hmm. There's different areas that people are stronger at than others.
Yeah.
One of the most important things in business is to generate revenue, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, most people don't focus on that. They focus on everything else. And then they don't have revenue, so they really don't have a business.
Yeah.
So when you started your business for the first time, how did you, like, get right into, you know, getting money? By the way, money's, you know, people have this warps thing on money, right? But money is what a business runs on.
Yes.
And it needs money.
Yes.
So, you know, and the key is obviously provide more value than you receive in money. And that's how you stay successful. But how did you overcome that hurdle of, hey, we need to generate revenue, the marketing part, the sales part, whatever. How was that process for you?
So for me, it started off by becoming what was called, you know, a master trainer. And I had a mentor, but you got paid on, you know, how many people you had in your trainings and how many trainings you had. And I'm a competitive girl. And that was most important to me. I don't know why I've always been that way. I always like to prove myself. And so early on, it became for me just a, I want to be on top. I just have that inside of me. I always have. And maybe because of the birth defects that I had, that it was just so important to me to prove myself. And so because I wanted to be on top, and everybody has, like you said, their reason for success. That was at the time more important to me than the income, because my husband at the time was working full time. He was making us a great living. So I was doing this kind of as a hobby, but also a passion project. And because, number one, I really did want to help people. And number two, because I just like to be good at what I do. I started to become very successful at it and continued to grow and grow and grow to the point that I was able to retire, you know, my husband about 3 years in.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what was the process though? Like, what, how did you start getting customers, clients and all that? Did you, was it online when you started or
both?
Local?
Both. You know, I feel like on social media, or at least on Instagram, I was kind of one of the first fitness accounts. You can scroll back, gosh, now, shoot, 13 years, I don't know. And I have these little side-by-side videos of me demonstrating an exercise, you know, and this is before now all of these adorable, cute little 25-year-olds wearing next to nothing in the gym. I can't compete with that. But back in the day, I was one of the first. So I was getting that exposure on social media, being helpful for free. I really think that matters. It, you know, it's like you said, I love what you said in the beginning of this, of how you have to be of service to other people to be successful. And I really, truly believe that. So I was trying to give value for free so that people would know, like, and trust me. And, but I also hit the pavement. I would make flyers. I would put them on windshields. I would go to all the gyms and pass out flyers. I would do things I probably wasn't supposed to do. I'd take my business card and I'd go into the fitness section of Walmart, and I would hide my business card in the fitness magazines and all the equipment. I'd slide it in the box. I don't know if it worked, but I was willing to try anything just to get my name out there.
Yeah, I love it. And so what did you find that started working though? What was the thing that, you know, because look, we in business, we got to try all different things, right?
Yes.
And then we kind of are dispersed in our attempts all over the place. Mm-hmm. And then ideally what you do is you find a few that work and you lean into those.
Yep.
What did you find started to work?
I believe, you know, I really embrace social media, and like I said, the helping people for free. So I would give people kind of a taste of how I could help them with their fitness, their nutrition and their accountability through free groups. And once they got a taste of how helpful I was, you know, then there was always that option to upgrade, to do, you know, to work with me on a closer level. And still to this day, you know, near 20 years later, I'm still doing that exact same thing, that, you know, I'm giving you free content as much as I can to help you on social media. If you want to work with me, I've just got a ton of different levels from, you know, just a couple of bucks all the way up to, you know, several thousand if need be.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love it. All right. And then from there, the introvert part, when did you start to label yourself as an introvert?
When I started, really hanging out with big crowds. So, I became a part of network marketing, with Beachbody at the time, now Body. And there were all of these huge, you know, we'd have these huge conferences. And because I was one of their top coaches for 10 years, I was always on stage. I would always have to speak in front of people. And I know a lot of, like, I bet, Mike, you absolutely love that. I hate it.
Still to this day, you do?
Mm-mm. I don't want to be in the public eye. You can get me on like a Zoom with my girls. Like, I have a group of like, you know, 90 girls right now, and I can do a Zoom and help them and kill it. But on stage, and I do okay, but it's just not something that I look forward to doing.
Yeah. Yeah. But I bet you found that when you leaned into it, that you were successful with it and it got a little easier, right?
Yeah. Well, value is so important to me. I, do love the accolades when I get off stage or something like that, because people say, I learned so much from you, because it's really important to me that I give people value. If they're going to give me their time, I'm going to give them something valuable. So I worked really hard to make sure that I did give something. But I don't know. And I would always tell the business, there were so many people that would just be like, pick me, I want to be on stage, pick me. And I'm like, if you need me, I'll be on stage. But if you don't need me, give it to somebody who's, you know, damn near bending over backwards, hoping that you'll pick them because it's more important to them.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I learned is, as far as being nervous about speaking, not liking it, whatever the case is, what I found was if I shifted the focus off myself, mm-hmm. and I did it about, like you just talked about, the value that I'm giving, making an impact. Mm-hmm. But the other thing was preparation, being prepared, because most people don't prepare enough.
Sure.
Those three things, making it about them, providing value, and being prepared, change everything. Yeah. And then I take the focus off myself, and it doesn't matter, introvert, extrovert, doesn't matter. I gotta achieve the mission. And then you're driven like that too, and you're competitive and all that. Once you switch that focus, that's what allowed you to do that. So mm-hmm. I love that. You know, introversion, is it's very important for people to understand. There's extroversion, introversion. Introversion is a non-survival behavior. We need connection. We need people. We mm-hmm. need the energy transference, the emotion transference. And that's imperative for not just surviving, but thriving in life in all areas. Yeah. And so one thing you mentioned was, kind of being an empath. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that earlier, right? And I just noticed, I got to tell you, my wife and I watch shows together. This is one of the ways we spend time together. And we watch a show that we like together. And then we'll a lot of it's reality shows and things. And we'll one thing that we're watching right now, I'll admit it. I watch Love is Blind. It's a show on Netflix. And, we'll talk about those things. But also, I really just noticed recently that I am pretty powerful empath. You know, I get the feelings. And whether it's some heartbreak, whether it's, somebody asked me the other day, when's the last time you cried or teared up? And I said, it was one. We're watching Love is Blind, and the part where people get married and the groom's standing out front and the bride first appears in her beautiful dress. And that part, I remember when I got married 21 years ago, I remember seeing my wife, when she was in her dress, and man, it's just like, I felt that feeling again when I watched the Love is Blind. So I don't know about being to a fault. I don't know. I mean, I guess there is, I think it's like what you do action wise with the feelings that you have. And if you allow it to impede you, that mm-hmm. could be a fault.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I mean, I think it's really powerful. It's like a superpower.
Yeah. I wish more people had empathy, especially I think on social media. I think social media is kind of getting, can get a little ugly because of that lack of empathy. But when I say to a fault, like, if we drive down the street, Mike, because, I live part-time in Mexico and you see, a lot of dead animals. And so I purposely don't try not to even just look outside of the road because I'm afraid, so afraid of seeing a dead animal. It'll crush my spirit for about 15 minutes before I could recover. It's just, I'm very emotional that way, especially with animals because they're so helpless. But sometimes people will send me a video because they know what an animal lover I am. And if there's an animal that is suffering in the video, I don't sleep that night because I just think about that animal the whole night. So it cripples me a little bit.
I gotcha. All right, Melissa. So when you start working with a lady, right? Let's say you get on a phone call or Zoom call with her, right? I saw that you help women and you really, you're dialed in because you retired your husband. Right. And you see other ladies out there with that opportunity, but they just don't see it. They're blind to it. And I guess you're, kind of opening up their perception to what's available to them. The opportunities are right in front of them. Mm-hmm. So when you get on a call with someone for the first time, and I'm really speaking to the listener right now, that's a lady out there that has opportunities in front of her. You just don't see it right now. How do you start with them? Do you take them through a framework? Like, talk to us about that.
Yeah. Your health is something that needs to be a priority no matter what. And so in the business of health, I think that a lot of women don't understand that for me, the education that I constantly pour on myself and the fact that I've put myself in a place where I have to hold myself to a certain standard is what has kept me in phenomenal shape for, 30 years. And so I have a lot of women that come to me that don't feel that sense of accountability. And it's very motivating to have progress, and you can actually, you know, monetize on your progress in your health and fitness. Nothing is more motivating than that. If you find yourself getting on and off the bandwagon because you can't stay committed, having, you know, that external accountability is huge. And then also knowing that you can actually build a business off showing people that something that you're doing is working is very motivational and very effective as well. So we talk about that because I think most of the time women are having a hard time sticking to a plan. And so it's putting them on a plan and telling them 6 months from now, it's going to pass no matter what. Your health is incredibly important no matter what. You need to do this no matter what. So why not stay hyper-focused, get really good results, support other women along the way, and actually build a business through it.
Yeah, and not specific name, but what is one of the most fulfilling transformations that you've seen with one of your clients? Like, what comes to mind when I ask you that?
Oh, there's a handful, because for me, being in the fitness industry myself, you know, I used to teach group exercise and I was a master trainer and it was fulfilling, but it wasn't a whole lot of income. And so for me to take other fitness instructors and show them how they can do it outside of their little tiny gym and actually be able to help people on an internet basis, to help someone in California or Colorado or, you know, the UK. And so the bigger your demographic, the more income you're going to make, has been very fulfilling, because they're stuck in their little tiny 20-mile radius at their gym. And it's like, you can blow that up. And so I've just helped a lot of women that were so good at helping other women get healthy and fit, but were stuck in this little tiny bubble because they didn't realize that you could build it on the internet and help thousands of women.
Yeah. Yeah. So going on out there into the world, are you going on podcasts as a guest often besides your show?
Yeah, I have. Yes, I have.
Yeah. And what benefits have you seen by being a guest? I know you have your own show, which we're going to talk about here in a second, but yeah. Going on shows as a guest, what has it done for you? And what's your favorite part about it? Because I know you're an introvert.
Yeah, I don't mind podcasts whatsoever. It definitely has broadened the audience, which I think is really important. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but on social media, it's just very hard to reach new people. And I think podcasts give you that opportunity to reach an audience that they don't know. They don't even know you exist. It's not like they don't want to follow you. They don't know you exist. And so being on a podcast gives them the opportunity to be like, oh, I like this person. I'm going to follow them. And it grows your audience.
And do you realize, and are you okay with the fact that some people don't vibe with us? And it may push people away, but, like, you know what I've experienced in my life? I think everybody does, but I'm just talking about my experience now. But I noticed that when I found my passion and I got this flame burning and I got a huge fire, right? And my, you know, my soul and my mission and everything, that I'm so intense with it. It tended to push people away, friends, family, you know, and, you know, I grown up where I grew up, a lot of brokenness, a lot of abandonment. I feel like it hits me sometimes. And I just had to come to grips with the fact that I'm not for everyone. But I can't let people that don't vibe with my mission or my fire, or if they're intimidated by it, or if it just doesn't connect with them, I have to be okay with letting them go. Yeah. Yeah. And then my circle's gotten very small. And, you know, and here's another example. And I want to get your thoughts on this. Like, I have successes in my life and I want to share those successes with people to inspire them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to brag. I'm not trying to brag, but I want to inspire people with it. Mm-hmm. But I felt like some of the people that I was around, when I would share something, they would be like, oh, okay. Or they wouldn't even like say congratulations, or they would be just lose interest. And if I go out to dinner with another couple with my wife, you know, I'd be talking to the husband or something. And I don't really talk about anything except for my mission and what's going on. And then besides, I'm not talking about only self-absorbed, but I ask questions about them too. And I want to know about theirs, but it's just like most people, it's just like, they don't want to engage. Have you experienced that? And have you had to let people go?
Yeah, there's something about turning 50, I think, and I kept hearing it, that you give a lot less, mentally, and you also just learn who's important in your life. And so I have absolutely let some people go because I don't agree with their choices, and they don't really, I don't feel like they support my choices as well. And that's okay. And so I'm better off having, I always joke that I've got five close friends in my life, and every single one of them is very driven. They support my crazy ideas and I support theirs. And I think that is pivotal in you making the most of your life, is making sure that you just have a few close friends around that are always there to pat you on the back and say, I'm proud of you for what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. I mean, I just posted something on my story yesterday, or maybe it was this morning. I can't remember. And it said, I want to surround myself with individuals who welcome sharing successes without envy, where I can also lend an ear to their achievements and celebrate alongside them.
Yes.
That's what I'm looking for. So I put that out on my story because I want to be intentional. I want to blast that out and promote that so that people know that, hey, you want to hang around me? This is the requirements I'm setting. These are my boundaries. This is my stake in the ground. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, that's fine. Yeah. No worries. But that's where I stand. And I want to encourage other people to do that too. If you have a light, we've all been given this aura, this light, and it gets dimmed so often. And I hate to see this, where it gets dimmed and then you don't serve your purpose and you can't reach for your potential. And so it's one was put my stake in the ground, but also to encourage others to do the same thing. Keep your light bright. Don't let somebody dim your light. If they do, put it back up again. You know, you got to find that because it's important for all of us. We only live this life it's so short of a span of time, really. Mm-hmm. And as we get older and approach 50 and beyond, it seems like time goes faster.
100%.
Yeah.
So, and you always hear, Mike, that, you know, the first, and this is 100% true with me, the first 50 years of my life, I created wealth. And then the next 50, it's purpose. You know, I really want to leave a legacy. And the first was the hard work financially, got there, living the dream life. Now I want to just have a purpose and leave my mark on as many hearts as I can.
Yeah, I love it. All right. As we wrap this up, wind down here, let's talk about your show, Melissa Made. I noticed it's a top 1% show. You're kicking ass with it. I want to know about it. Tell us about the show. And also, it had a different name before, I believe.
Yeah. So my marketing guy, he's worked with me for probably 7 years, and he's pushed me to do a podcast probably for the whole 7 years. And it was finally about 2 years ago. I was like, fine, I'll do it. And so it's a little over 2 years old. And one of my best friends, one of my five, her name is Dr. Lauren. She's a functional medicine doctor. And I love her and her perspective. And we just jive really, really well. And so I just thought it would be fun to have a partner in the podcast. And so just a couple of months ago, I asked her if she'd be my partner. And so now instead of being the Melissa Made Show, it's the Made Fitz Show, because her name is Fitzgerald. And so her and I now tag team this podcast, where I've got the nutrition, the holistic nutrition, and she's the medical side. She was a board certified anesthesiologist, now functional medicine doctor. And we see eye to eye most of the time, but not always. And we really enjoy just educating, especially women, on entrepreneurship, because we're both entrepreneurs, fitness, nutrition, relationships, all that good stuff.
Love it. All right. So then you said something about legacy. So this is the final thing we'll talk about. What legacy do you want to live? Like, what's your vision from here?
Well, obviously mostly for my children. I think my husband, Mick, and I have created enough. I think this is important. People may not agree with me, but enough wealth that we are able to make sure that our grandchildren are taken care of. And so that to continue on that is really, really important. I want to leave a footprint on as many people as I can. So many people will tell me, your voice was in my head today when I was doing this, doing that. I would love for that to carry on. Even when I do get quieter on social media and stuff like that there's still those moments that people are like, I remember this one time I was listening to this lady that was telling me to always take the stairs or to always start with the salad. Cause I don't need to make a huge bump shift, but just little tiny things that are enough to make somebody happier and healthier is enough for me.
That's awesome. All right. Well, listen, I got to tell you this. We were in Jamaica. We were on the 8th floor of the building. Mm. And I would say half the time we took the steps.
Oh, yeah, good.
And we took the elevator sometimes. We had like other family with us and all that. But like we, my daughter, my wife and I would take the steps. Then my son and his cousin were racing up the steps to see how fast they could go and beat the elevator. So, yeah, we're down with that. And it makes a huge difference, even if it's just one trip.
It really does.
You notice if your heart starts to beat more, you're doing something.
Yeah, you feel alive.
Yeah, we did it. So, Melissa, I want to thank you for being here. You're a pleasure to talk to, and I think more people need to hear from you for sure.
Appreciate that.
You know, getting out there and making a difference and creating that legacy that you want to. So thank you for being here, Melissa.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. Go to melissamade.com, Melissa Made on Instagram. Check her out. Let her know you heard her here. And I cannot wait for this episode to come out because I know one person at least is going through something that if they just heard what we talked about today, it's going to make a difference for them. Whether their feet are messed up, whether their hands are messed up, whether they need to get in better shape, or whether they know that there's opportunities right in front of them that they're just not seeing and they need some help. Guys, reach out to Melissa. And Melissa, thank you so much for being here. All right, hang tight while I wrap this up. You've been listening to the What Are You Made Of show, live from That One Studio. It's your boy, C-Rock. Keep coming back. Make sure you like and subscribe. Do all the things that can help us out because we'll keep bringing you great guests, keep bringing you encouragement, and making sure that you do not forget that you are unstoppable to live in the life of your dreams. Until next time, it's C-Rock here. Be that one.
Music license.